Second Chronicles chapter 17. We'll just read a couple of verses there. Second Chronicles 17. And the verse 3 and 4. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. But just take a moment and ask for the Lord's presence and the Lord's help this morning. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for thy precious word. We thank you, Lord, that you have promised that thy word will not return unto thee void. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless it this morning. Bless it to each and every heart. Lord, even speak to my heart, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that thou wilt give me help, Lord, even to open up thy word this morning. Lord, that everything that's said and done here this day will be done for the glory and the honor of our God. Lord, just continue with us now. Pour out thy spirit upon us. In your loving name we ask it. Amen. This morning I would like us to have a look even at the life of this man, Jehoshaphat. And I trust that as we look at this life of this man, that the Lord would even speak to you as he has to me, even through his precious word this morning. In the period that we are looking at, the wicked king Ahab ruled the land of Israel. And this new king, Jehoshaphat, had taken over as king of Judah after the death of his father Asa. Asa had sought to reform the land during his reign and had reformed it to some degree. But Jehoshaphat was one of the first among the royal worthies, one of the best to wear the crown even since David. He was a good son of a good father. So at this time, the grace ran even through his blood. You know, happy is the son that had such a father to lay down a good foundation for him to follow. Happy the father that had such a son to build so well upon the foundation that he had laid before. And happy the people, even of the land and of that kingdom, who were blessed because of Asa and now the new king Jehoshaphat. As soon as Jehoshaphat came to the throne, he strengthened himself. Ahab could have been on the throne for Israel for about 3 years now and could have been taking ground against Judah. So Jehoshaphat used his forces to strengthen his defenses against Ahab so that he would not be able to take any more of the land. But firstly this morning, you know, there was a time when Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. We read in chapter 17 verse 3, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not after Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father. He walked in his commandments, not after the doings of Israel. And the verse 6, his heart was lifted up even in the ways of the Lord. The neighboring nations had their gods of Baal, but Jehoshaphat abhorred them all. He hated them and he wanted nothing to do with them. All he wanted was to worship the one true living God, the God of his father. He prayed to him only, and he sought him, and he inquired of him, and he walked in God's commandments. Not only did he worship the true God, but he worshipped according to his word, and not after the doings of Israel. His heart was lifted up in the ways of God. He brought his heart to God's work. His heart was enlarged in that which was good. He could never think of doing enough for God. Nothing was enough. He was out and out for God. He was reverent for the Lord, and he was bold in the ways of God. And he went on with courage. And the Lord gave him strength over all his difficulties and over all of his problems. He took away the high places and he took away the groves. Nothing was such a hindrance to this nation of Judah. Nothing hindered them so much as their adulterous worship. And he sought to turn the people again to the one true living God. No, today, is this not a picture of our land and our people? God has been forgotten. And what the people worship, they worship who and what they want. We as God's people need to do as Jehoshaphat did. We need to seek the Lord afresh. We need to follow in his footsteps. Follow the footsteps of the men of God who have gone on before. We need to walk in God's ways. live our lives according to His commandments. We need to stop doing our own will and going our own way. We need to seek afresh even to follow the Lord. We need to get to know the Lord better. We need to seek for a closer walk with Him. Exodus 33 and the verse 13, Moses cried, that I may know thee. That I may know thee. That was Moses' desire, to know God better. And that should be our cry this morning, that we may know thee. This was the desire of Jehoshaphat and needs to be our desire today. God wants us to be men and women that are out and out for God, seeking Him in all we do, and seeking that in all that we do, that we would bring glory and honour to His name and for His cause. Just as Jehoshaphat cut down the idols and took away the groves that were in the land at that time, what does God want us to do? God wants us to cut the idols down out of our lives. The things that take up so much of our time, that we do not have the time for God that we should have. When we have to rush in and out of God's presence, there's something wrong. How can we expect God to speak to us when we even get alone with God in the secret place? And when we're so busy watching the clock and thinking, oh, I have to be somewhere else in a very short space of time, how can we expect God to come and speak to us? When on the Lord's day, when we come, like today, even to God's house to meet around His precious word, it's so important that we come with hearts that are prepared. You know, when we haven't even taken time to pray, how can we expect God to come and meet with us? Jehoshaphat sought the Lord, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of God. May we be as Jehoshaphat was, and have even those same desires that he had. Also, there was a time for him to spread the word of God. Read there in chapter 17, the verses 6 to 9. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. And in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Benhal, to Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethaneel, Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebediah, Ashiel, Sherimanoth, and Jehoshim, and Adonijaniah, Tobijah, and Tobadijaniah, the Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, the priests. You know, Jehoshaphat sent these men out to teach the word of God to the people. They taught the law of God. They took God's word with them and went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Jehoshaphat was not content with walking with the Lord himself. He wanted all the people of the land to have the very same relationship that he had with his God. He wanted the people of the land to have those same desires. He wanted his people to be done with worship or to be done with idolatry. And he wanted them to worship the one true living God. He wanted Proverbs 14:34 to come alive in his land, where it tells us righteousness exalted a nation. He wanted righteousness to prevail right across the land. Is that not what we need even in our land today? We need righteousness to be exalted. He sent forth his princes and the Levites with them to teach the word of God. And they took the book of the law with them. They went in verse 10 throughout all the cities of Judah. Jehoshaphat knew that he of himself could do nothing to make the people seek the Lord as they ought. He knew that it was God's work. He knew that for those people that worshipped another God, that it was only God could change their hearts. It was God's word that could change their hearts. Jehoshaphat knew that if he wanted the people to be united together to follow God, it was only the precious word of God that could do even this great work. How is it even in our own lives? When we look around us and see again the state of our land, we could so often get discouraged as we see the sin and the wickedness of so many. You know, we could say, what's the point? What's the point? But you know, God can change their hearts. Just as Jehoshaphat sought to spread the word of God throughout the land, that's what God wants us to do. He wants to spread the message of the gospel to those that we come in contact with even each and every day. Maybe in the workplace, through someone you work with. God wants you to witness to them and speak to them and tell them of what God can do for them. Maybe in the outreach, maybe in the open air. God has a work for each one of us to do, even to spread His precious word. Jehoshaphat had a great work, and he knew it was God that could do it, and God alone. And so the word of God was spread. What was the result of this time of seeking and this time of spreading the word of God? What do you read? We read there in the verse 5, "Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in His hand." Read in verse 10 of chapter 17, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat." You know, read down there in verse 12 that Jehoshaphat waxed exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store because of his faithfulness and his labors for the Lord. We have here the account of his prosperity and the flourishing state of the land, both spiritually and even physically. Even the very enemies of Judah were now afraid of Jehoshaphat and the people. They knew that this was a people that worshipped the one true living God. They were afraid even to make war against this people. And so it should be with the same, even with ourselves. If we are walking with the Lord as we ought, those that would try to put us down because of our faith in God will even be afraid when they see that we are on the victor's side, that we have God on our side. They would be afraid. Jehoshaphat had peace in his life, and now he had peace in his land, all because he was walking with the Lord. God had blessed him and made him into a great man. You know, we may never be as well off as Jehoshaphat was, and we do not need wealth and riches this morning, but we need the presence of God. We all need the presence of God and the peace of God in our hearts that passeth all understanding. And that only comes through being faithful even to our Lord. The fear of God fell upon all the nations round about as Jehoshaphat reformed the nation with God's help. He set up a preaching ministry in this land. The word of God had more strength than any military force. You know, Jehoshaphat's men of God were of more highly thought of even than its men of war. But you know, we see how he sought the Lord and how he spread the word. But now we see something else. We can see how he made an unholy alliance with wicked King Ahab. Reading chapter 18 verse 1, that Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Read there in verse 2, and after certain years he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go with him to Ramoth Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead?" And he answered him, "I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. We will be with thee in war." And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." You know, after such a good start and his life of faithfulness and life of seeking the Lord, you know, we can see how sadly Jehoshaphat has gotten into a wrong relationship. Sometimes when all is calm and we are on the mountaintop, you know, whenever we have no real worries or problems, we can so easily fall into sin. When we're in the valley of seeking the Lord constantly to help us through each hour of each day, we are never taking our eyes off him. And maybe we wouldn't stray so easily. But when we don't need the Lord, we can so easily forget about him. Jehoshaphat had peace in his land. He had no threat of war. He had nothing really physically to worry about. He was well off financially. He wasn't in need of anything or anyone. And his heart was lifted up so easily, maybe even out of a sense of pride, a sense of saying to himself, "I have done well. I will just sit back and relax." Ahab perhaps flattered him by telling him how good a job he was doing. Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him. He drew him in, treated him well, made him feel important, made him feel that he was looking up to him. Jehoshaphat forgot the words of David in Psalm 26, verse 5. Whenever he said, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. David also says in Psalm 141 and verse 4, incline not thy heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties. God's word is very clear this morning on those that we should be joining with. And Ahab was one of those that Jehoshaphat should not have been getting involved with. Ahab wanted Jehoshaphat to bring his armies to join him and to go up to Ramoth-Gilead and to do battle against the enemy. Ahab wanted Jehoshaphat to help him take ground for Israel. Jehoshaphat asked Ahab to inquire at the word of God, even though he had made an unholy alliance, even though he had gotten into a wrong relationship, still he hadn't altogether forgotten about his God. Ahab asked the 400 prophets of Baal in verse 4 to give him an answer. And of course their answer was going to be, go up and they would have the victory. Still Jehoshaphat was not convinced. And in verse 6 he asks Ahab, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire? Ahab's answer was in verse 7, there is, but I hate him. I hate this man, for he never prophesies good unto me, but always evil. You know, when you hear those who you are in alliance with hating the men of God, hating God's servants, that should have been enough for Jehoshaphat to know that he was in the wrong. Micah made it clear that it was wrong for Jehoshaphat to go to Ramoth-Gilead. He says there in chapter 18, verse 16, and I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. What was the result? What was the outcome? Who was right and who was wrong as he went into battle? Read there chapter 18 and the verse 28 and 29. Chapter 18, the verse 28 and 29. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and will go to the battle. But put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and he went to battle. It was nearly as if Ahab had deceived Jehoshaphat. He wanted Jehoshaphat to go into battle with all of his robes on him. He would be a real target. Meanwhile, Ahab was just going to go into the battle just as a normal soldier, hoping that nobody would notice him. You know, God is not mocked. Ahab tried to deceive Jehoshaphat, but God knew his heart. God knew his evil, wicked, deceiving heart. Read in verse 31 that the Lord helped Jehoshaphat and moved the army from him. But as for Ahab, he was smote with an arrow and died in the battle. The battle was lost. They should have listened to the words of the Lord and not the wicked, false prophets, even of Baal. Chapter 19, turn to chapter 19, and even the verse 1 to 4 there. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to see him, and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly, and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and thou hast prepared thine heart to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. We see that how after he has done wrong, he was reproved even by the prophet Jehu. The Lord spoke through this prophet, and he was restored unto the Lord. But you know, Jehoshaphat didn't take offense at being reproved, that he was in the wrong. He had made a bad choice. He had made a bad decision. He had made a bad alliance. But he accepted when he was wrong, and he repented of his sin. And once again, he sought the Lord. How well do we, as God's people, accept being reproved? When we do something that's not right or something that's wrong, are we offended by when the Lord speaks to us from his word and says, you were wrong there? Are we offended by it? Or do we accept it? And do we repent? And do we once again seek the Lord? You know, is there not a real lesson for us here today? We need to be so careful in those that we take as our friends and our company. To those that we spend our time with. You know, I'm not saying for one minute that we should not go out and befriend the unsaved and seek to win them for the Lord. I'm not saying that. We have to live and work in this world every day. But you know, God wants us to reach out and use our opportunities to witness for Him. But to those that we are closest to those that we spend most of our time with, to those that we share our very thoughts with, you know, if they have a hatred for the Word of God, if they have a hatred for the Lord, how can we spend our time with them? We need to live and spend our time in those that and with those that have the same desires that we have. We need to spend our time with those who love the Lord and want to grow in grace and into a deeper knowledge of Him. That's the people that God wants us to spend our time with. That we might encourage one another, that they might encourage us, and that we might be kept away from the wrong alliances and the wrong relationships. You know, Psalm 1 verse 1, we all know it well. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's what God says to you and I today. If we keep the right company, blessed is that man. Blessed is that man. What an example for us to take heed. You know, and how far and how much it should take an example from this morning. You know, and follow even the example. But praise the Lord, if we do feel the Lord, if we do let the Lord down, just as Jehoshaphat did, you know, praise the Lord, there's a way back to Him. There's a way back to Him today. If we truly repent and seek the Lord again, some would say, why is this example in the Word of God? How often can someone fall into sin and fall away from the Lord? And how sometimes that person can feel, you know, I can never get back to where I was. I've heard people saying, I'll never be able to get back through sin or through things that have happened or things that they've done. They said, I'll never get back to that place where I was walking with the Lord. They say, what's the point? I feel the Lord. You know, maybe there's someone here like that this morning. Maybe that's what you're saying. But you know, when Jehoshaphat repented and the Lord drew him back onto Himself, the Lord didn't hold Jehoshaphat's feelings against him. He didn't say, hold on, Jehoshaphat, now you've wronged me here. You've done wrong, just you stay there. That's not what God said. God forgave him. God welcomed him back with outstretched arms. Just as a father put his arms out to welcome back the prodigal son, God brought Jehoshaphat right back into the place of sweet fellowship with Him. You know, if there's one here this morning, and because of sin your heart is far from God, repent and even seek the Lord again this morning. We have saw Jehoshaphat's seeking of the Lord, and we have saw his unholy alliance. But finally, we see his total reliance on the Lord and the great deliverance that God gave to him. Turn to chapter 20. Chapter 20 and the verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass that after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them also beside the Amorites, came unto Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side of Syria. Behold, they be in Hazar Tamar, which is in Gedi. We left Jehoshaphat in the previous chapter, employed once again in the reformation of the land. But now, where is he? In great distress. A great army had gathered against his kingdom, the Moabites and the Amorites and others. You know, perhaps that they had heard how Jehoshaphat had gone into a relationship with Ahab. And before they were afraid to attack, but now they felt now this was their chance. They felt that now, because he's not walking with the Lord anymore, we will be able to go and attack the land. What did Jehoshaphat do? Firstly, he fell upon his knees to the Lord. Read in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You know, they didn't call a committee meeting to see what they would do and what their military response would be. Jehoshaphat didn't run to his closest aides and ask them for their advice. What did he do? He proclaimed a fast and he fell upon his knees. And all the people of the land did the very same. The fathers, the mothers, the children, they all came together and they sought the Lord for his help and for his guidance in the face of this great enemy. They appointed a day of prayer and they came before the Lord. They met at the house of God, and what an example even to us. When trouble or trials or illness come to our door, what should we do first? Get on the phone and talk to our friends and see what they think. What's the best way forward? Ask them for their guidance. No, we need to drop to our knees. We need to seek the Lord for his help and for his guidance. Just as the people did even in this day of prayer and fasting. Read there in the verse 6 and 7, the same chapter. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to thy seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? He lifts his voice unto God. He says, art not thou God in heaven? Thou rulest over all the kingdoms, and there is none able to withstand thee. Total confidence and trust in God. He gives praise and glory and honour to the Lord first of all. Even how many times when we're in times of need, we rush into God's presence with a list of things that we need sorted. But you know, we need to praise and thank the Lord first and foremost for all he's done. Read there in verse 12. O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He says, Lord, what are we to do? But we are waiting on you. Lord, we can do nothing. We are in your hands. Lord, come and move and work. He had a total reliance upon the Lord, a total reliance that God was in control. And you know, this is a real example to us. We need to die to self in times of difficulty and problems. We need to seek the Lord, that he would come and take control of the situation. You know, maybe there's someone here, and you know that you have difficulties and problems, and your fears seem insurmountable. You cannot see a way through the valley. You know, look to the one who is well able to help us and to deliver us even this morning. But you know, we see God's answer in verse 15. God's answer there in verse 15. And he said, hearken all ye Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. What did God say to Jehoshaphat? He says, Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours, it's God's. It's mine. It's my battle. I am taking over. I am in control. You leave it to me, Jehoshaphat. You know, what Jehoshaphat and his people were now to worry about, it was gone. Nothing. God was in control. They had sought the Lord in the place of prayer, and now God had taken over. God had responded, and their hearts must have been lifted up in praise and thanksgiving. They were in despair. They didn't know what to do. All they could see was this great army that they could never defeat. And they knew that they were on the victor's side. They knew that victory was going to come. They knew that the Lord had stepped in to their situation. Read there in the verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed tomorrow. Go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. God did not even want his people to fight. He wanted all the glory for himself. Read there in the verse 24 of the same chapter. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. God turned the enemies against themselves, and they killed one another. A wonderful deliverance for God's people. And praise the Lord today. Our God is the same yesterday, today and forever. He has lost none of his ancient power. You know, we need to remember always, firstly, to run to him, to wait upon him, and he will come and he will meet us even at the very point of our need. Remember this morning, the battle, it's not ours. It's God's. It's God's battle. No matter what we may face, Our God is greater and well able to deliver us and to see us through all our problems and all of our difficulties. We come and we bring everything to the Lord. And sometimes when we come and cast our problems and our fears down at the Lord's feet, you know how often we lift them and bring them back with us. God wants us to leave them there. When we get on our knees in the place of prayer and bring all these things to the Lord, God wants us to leave them there with Him, and He will take control. The battle is the Lord's. Even think of those of our loved ones who are not saved. Remember, as we pray for them, the battle is the Lord's. He can and He will save them if we pray for them faithfully. And through every trial and trouble, the battle is the Lord's. Let us stand back believing, and we shall see even the salvation of the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You do not know and have your faith in the Lord today. You're not in the Lord's army. You know, and you do not have someone that you can look to like Jehoshaphat did. You have no one to turn to in times of trouble and distress. But praise the Lord today. You can come to the one who is mighty to save. You can know His saving power simply by calling upon the name of the Lord today. And He will save you. And He will deliver you from your burden of sin. And He will lead you on out after Himself. And you can know then what it is to have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, who will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I trust this morning that as we have looked at the life of Jehoshaphat, that you will have been encouraged and challenged even through his life, through how he sought the Lord, through even how he reformed the land through preaching the word of God, and even now his unholy alliance, and how once again he came back to the Lord and he saw even that great deliverance. I trust that the Lord will bless us all even through his word this morning. Amen.